Moncrief with Gas Networks Ireland. Aren't you tired of that ugly fuel storage tank, having to order and write that big check for the delivery guy? gasnetworks.ie/movetogas.
Hey, we thought we'd start with that exciting clip from Arcade Fire. Arcade Fire, as you know, were playing in Malahide Castle last week, and then they went out and did a secret gig. But somewhere in their time in Ireland, they managed to watch the telly, and they watched Telly Bingo. And then they put a clip of Telly Bingo to their own music. Were you aware of this? I assume you were.
No, actually, I was aware that Telly Bingo was on the telly because that's what I do.
Yes, I was aware of that. But you're aware of Arcade Fire, were.
And I was also aware of the cultural significance of Telly Bingo as well. So, you know, it's kind of inevitable. I was explaining this to my parents, who are both deaf, what that was about. So, somebody from Arcade Fire recorded a snippet of Telly Bingo, to which they put some music, that's just the music you just heard there, and then they just put it, like, it's about a 10 second thing, and it's just basically me going 5:23, but then with that music underneath, and, you know, whatever they're into, is that what they do? I don't, my parents are deaf, they're going, who are Arcade Fire? I'm finally culturally relevant again.
Yeah,
the kids now know who I am. Yeah. I have made it. It's like, this is my moment.
I'm kind of proud of you. Do you know?
Oh, thank you
for that. I think that's great.
Well, I think they put it on their, you know, Snapface account, or whatever you call it. So, you know, thousands of people.
And now that means I'm one of their collaborators. I hope I'm on their Wikipedia page.
I think the next thing there was like, contact your lawyer.
Will there be royalties coming
from
this? Cashiroonies
there.
I have to actually
talk to your legal
push
people.
Away any responsibility in case the actual makers of the programme for whom I'm working kind of have any legal issues.
Well, no, but the makers of the programme don't own you saying five.
That's true.
You added lyrics to one of their... you added lyrics to one of their songs.
I own my own numbers. Yes, you do. Very much. And my own.
Sir, okay, fine. Totally own you, or owe you for lyrics.
It was thrilling.
Anyway, right. If Declan can come back to hang out with less superstar-y people for a moment, here's your first question. The woman who sits beside me stinks. You can smell her coming before you can see her. It's like a mix of ashtray, BO, wet dog, and sweet deodorant. She was moved to our shared desk after another person complained to HR. So instead of talking to her about the problem, they just transferred it over to me and my other colleague. When I asked HR to do something about it, they said she was already moved and they won't be taking it any further. So I'm basically lumped with it. I can't put up with this. I'm so disgusted by her that she puts me off food. What can I do? I haven't eaten in days. So there you go. There's a breatharian work there.
I'm just fascinated by the mix of smells that this woman is emanating.
I know, it's fair, but obviously she's had time to think about it.
BO. Maybe she works in advertising or something, though. She has to use words in that kind of way.
Ashtray, BO, wet dog, and sweet deodorant. Like, she's studied the smells that are emanating from her colleague.
She sounds like one of those people that's describing one of those wines from Centre that are on
with
the
radio. With notes of this and hints of that. No. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
No me gusta.
But I mean, I would say to her that, she needs to eat. Don't give up eating. Make sure you're drinking. It's very warm. So you'll die otherwise. But all joking aside, if you are having, I mean, I've said it before, we spend so much of our time in work that if there is something that is causing you serious angst, and certainly a mixture of ashtray, BO, wet dog, and sweet deodorant for the hours you spend in work cannot be pleasant. And I'm interested that the HR have adopted a kind of a Catholic Church policy of let's just move the problem from one place to another and then that sorts it out. But, you know, I presume that this is a kind of grey area that she can't insist that HR deal with it. But I do think that the first thing she should do is make an appointment with her HR manager and make sure that they understand, or he or she understands, that this is a big issue for not just her, but also the other colleague who she mentions is affected by it, and give it another chance to see if they will actually solve it. But if they won't, she's going to have to do it herself. But again, I would tend to kind of cover your back by letting HR know that you're being forced into having to confront this woman about, or this person about the BO. There were a few things, there were a few hints and tips that I found online, which you might bear in mind. Making sure, and obviously, you know, I think giving people the benefit of the doubt. In other words, if this woman has a serious body odor problem, she may not be aware of it because we don't tend to smell our own smells. You need to bear that in mind. She's not doing it on purpose to annoy you, or you know.
No.
So you need to be a little bit gentle, and you need to make sure you go somewhere obviously out of earshot of others and somewhere.
Well,
a little
she wears
bit private.
Deodorant.
Yeah, there you go. It's probably a soap and water issue. One of the things that I thought was very interesting online was one of the pieces of advice I found was to give them a choice. So in other words, start the conversation by, you know, broaching it in a way, something like saying, look, I have something that's kind of delicate and quite personal that I need to talk to you about you. Are you happy that I go ahead and do that? Because most people say yes. They're not going to go, no, I don't want to know. Mm. But it gives you a kind of an element of control a little bit. So I thought that was quite useful. And emphasize that you're not, this isn't a personal attack on them, you know, that you like them and that they're good at their job and you enjoy working with them, and that this is just purely the body odor, and that you're telling them as a friend, you know, you're being kind before somebody else makes a bigger issue out of it. Hope for the best.
I don't know. I mean, first of all, I don't think that they are friends. You know, they're just people who have been lumped together by their
job. No, but I was saying that as in a way of dressing it up a little bit. Like, I'm saying it to be kind,
it's
not to be a meanie or to
make you
feel
bad. Okay,
but
what I'm trying to say is that when you're in a workplace, you're forced often to sit at, you know, hot desks, share desks, a big pooled open at plan area with people who you mightn't like, but you're there to do your job. You're there to work for the man, and it's the man's responsibility to. Yeah, I'm using the. Yeah.
I know you are. Yeah.
No,
yeah,
but you're right.
You know,
yeah.
It's normally a man. It's a man who doesn't care whether the woman decides to smelly. That's who that man is. A woman would never allow that. I suppose what I'm trying to say here is that it's not your responsibility to bring it up with the body odor person who's sitting beside you. It's actually that human resource people here have just pushed the problem onto you. They're not doing their job. What are they for? If they're not going to do that, what is their job?
Here, I mean, the whole, you know, HR makes it all sound like a science, but basically their job is to get you to work more for less money. They don't care about any other aspect of it. They pretend to care because that's what they're trained to do. And as you can see from that, all they did was move it elsewhere.
But exactly, what a load of, come on.
But the reason they did, sorry to interrupt you, Dan, but the reason they probably moved that woman is that the first person made themselves enough of a pain in the arse about it. So that's what our correspondents are going to have to do.
That's basically what I'm saying. So you know, you made the crack about the Catholic Church, and it's that kind of thing. It's a whole evasiveness there.
That's all very well, right? That's all lovely, and that's all very well, and it's all very rational. But if she makes herself into as much of a pain as the arse as obviously the previous person who had to share the space with the they're going to just what? Move her again? Is it a sackable offence?
Yeah.
Can you say to somebody you're sacked because you smell?
Actually,
yes. I don't know if it is.
Well, it might force them to do something about it. I mean, if she goes and says, look, I know for a fact she was moved from beside Mary. Yeah. Now, when Mary made this complaint about the smell, which now I have to endure every day, did you bring this up with Smelly Woman?
Yeah.
And if they'd probably say, oh, no, we can't discuss that. So said, I'm taking that to be a no.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go and talk to her now. And you're going to have to deal with the fallout of that. So do you want that option or are you going to do something about it?
And that's exactly it. Is that human resources have the responsibility of trying to manage the employees in the building. But they also have a legal responsibility, because if something kicks up and I feel victimised or bullied in the workplace because of you let Mary come over to me and tell me I'm a smelly woman, that's actually stuff that human resources are meant to be quelling and diminishing, not egging on because Clodagh in HR is too mortified to turn around and say, by the way, you're smelly.
Yeah.
I mean... Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I just don't see. I mean, I.
Clodagh needs to step up and do her job. It's embarrassing. Clodagh's
in HR, right?
Yeah,
okay.
In HR.
She needs to walk a smelly woman.
But what I'm saying is, like, instead of seeing Smelly Woman as... instead of seeing Smelly Woman
as... This is a radio play now, isn't it?
Yes, yes. Instead of seeing Smelly Woman as some kind of evil kind of person, I think you're being a bit mean. Smelly Woman... The point is, may not be aware that she's Smelly Woman.
Oh no, absolutely,
this
somebody has to tell her.
Oh no, I get that.
So you know,
it could be a medical issue, and it could be, which is all the more reason why
for Clodagh to get off her lazy ass and stop looking at, stop planning her wedding.
But if Clodagh isn't going to do it, what, say Valerie, say the woman who rang in, what's she going to do about it then? If Clodagh says, no, that's not part of my brief, I'm not doing that, we don't do that, what's Valerie going to do? She's got a day-to-day problem.
You've got to use the systems that...
I think you've got to be pragmatic.
Clodagh has a job because that's the way the systems work. So what we need to do here is go into HR and say, you need to deal with this now, otherwise I am going to, you know, put in a formal complaint about this. And I'm also going to put a formal complaint in about you, because you're obviously not doing your job and you need to...
In a rational way that all makes perfect sense. But then you've got Valerie, who's now being possibly labelled as a troublemaker because Clodagh won't do her job, and because Smelly Woman still is unaware of all the hassle that Smelly Woman is causing. Whereas if Valerie short circuits it, I absolutely agree, go and talk to Clodagh in HR, but if she's not going to do her job, then I think she might as well go and give a go of it herself, letting Clodagh in HR know that she's going to do that, and then it makes her look as if she's better.
Okay, well, let's change the issue and imagine that it's not about somebody's body odour, but instead it's something else, like it's a procedural thing that the woman beside you or the man beside you is doing that's affecting your ability to do your job in a pleasant...
Like what?
Like, it could be anything. It could just be the eating at their desk. It could be the fact that they
use
the photocopier.
But that's the whole point. This is different because Smelly Woman doesn't know she's smelly and she's not doing it on purpose. And it's much more personal. It's a much harder thing. If somebody's eating at the desk and even
all
crumbs
on
your keyboard,
that conversation should be had inside the closed human resources office.
I just
feel
sorry for Smelly Woman, that then she's going to feel...
I know, but there has to be a Spartacus moment where this poor Smelly Woman's passed around the office like so much used goods. Not knowing why no one wants her.
Which is actually
until
worse,
plants
though,
start
exactly.
to die beside her.
Why does nobody love me?
Just got a fresh orange. Put a fresh orange on your desk. Fill the air with orangey goodness. Says one person.
Onions. Don't onions. If you cut an onion, you know, if you've painted a room, aren't you meant to cut an onion and put it in the room and it draws in smells?
Oh, does it?
Onions do. Yeah, if you want to get rid of the smell of paint, so maybe that would work. But you'd have the smell of onions.
Isn't it amazing how a smell can put you off everything? Bad smelling people are a real no-no and cause my gag reflex to kick in. Hi, Doe. I feel her pain. Smelling... I'm not going to read out that text. That's a completely different situation. Just send a group email saying, can we all be aware of personal hygiene, etc., etc., as there's been a number of complaints. Simple, you do not need to single her out, says Luke. Someone else says, it's a sackable offence, especially if they are dealing with customers or it's affecting the productivity of others. Someone else says, I was this person who stunk at work completely.
Is it Valerie?
And completely unaware of it. Eventually, I was pulled aside and told it did embarrass me quite a lot, but I took care of the problem and now look back on it as a good thing. Honesty is the best policy.
But who approached it with her or him? Yeah, who approached it? And that's the thing.
I don't know. They don't say who
it
was.
I think it's about who.
The other thing she could just do say is, did you get a dog? I can smell it.
Did you get a dog and did he crap himself? Because I can smell it. And is he smoking 40 fags a day?
Is he using links?
Do you know the worst thing about being in the company of somebody who does have a serious smell like that? I got into a taxi once and I nearly died of asphyxiation on the way home because the smell was so appalling. But when I got out of the taxi, I felt as if I smelled then. You know the way you feel as if you're carrying
your
the
nose.
Smell? It goes up your nose and you feel you want to wash all your clothes and have a shower and wash your hair as soon as you go home. So
it's
I do have sympathy.
It's the breeze thing. You can just see those little molecules of smell coming in
following you
inside your nose.
Yeah, and you're leaving it behind.
That's not good.
Yeah, by the way, there isn't, like, those names are all made up. There isn't a real Valerie in HR.
We hope to hell there isn't.
And if there is, we weren't talking about you. My sister has a weird habit of copying everything I do. I buy a dress, she gets the same one. I go for a weekend away, she goes on an identical trip the following week. It's annoying, but I mostly just shrug it off. Until now. I've had the most amazing sister, has been asking for for her number. Sorry, I'll read that again. I have the most amazing hairdresser who does my hair color in a very particular way. The problem is that my sister has been asking for her number for ages, and I haven't given it to her for obvious reasons. But last weekend, she actually robbed my phone, took the number, and yes, she went off and got the exact same hairstyle as me. What do I do now? Take a scissors to her. What's next on her list? I saw her looking at my hubby in a funny way, and now I'm a bit concerned.
Oh, you know, when you read through this, it seems like this person has a terrible problem, and the person, their sister in the scenario, is doing something awful to them by not being an original human being, and it's, you know, a big intrusion on their life. But my take on this, now I'm coming from this from a very weird angle. I work in a drag show with loads of drag queens, and there's this thing about don't rob my look, don't steal my look. That's my look. I own that. You're not allowed to have yellow hair because I'm rocking that look today. And that's just because it's you're on stage and there's going to be
professional
one audience.
Thing.
Yeah,
and
but you're one audience looking at one thing, and that's it. And you're trying to make that stuff happening. In this situation, this woman is commenting on her sister buying a dress, having a haircut, and, you know, some other issue that she thinks is a major big issue. They're not big issues. If that's the only thing you've got invested in your life to make you feel special about yourself, it's no wonder you feel threatened when somebody else comes into the room and has a haircut. Because I'm being harsh today. On account of being friends with Arcade Fire, I'm allowed to like kind of look down on the world.
You're not the Declan we used to
know. No, it's changed.
It's all got to your head.
I'm away there now with the fairies. What I would suggest to this person is that they need to, instead of looking at what their sister is doing and seeing it as some kind of a threat and a kind of an attack on her identity, instead to slightly feel flattered by that, but also to go on with her life. Because if she's going to invest her whole time going, I am me because I have that haircut and I have that dress, that's not a very solid basis on which to structure your identity, and you're going to set yourself up for a lot of issues.
Heartache. Mm. Actually, I would have had a similar reaction to this because I thought I was coming at it from a kind of a different place, but obviously not as different as yours, because I've never had a sister, and I grew up spending all my time wanting a sister with whom I could share clothes and makeup and hairstyles and the whole work. So I'm looking at this going, like, you, what's the problem? Like, really, seriously, is there a problem? The only thing I would say, well, two things I would say. Number one, I'm wondering, does the sister who's the copycat wear it better? Is that really what the problem is here? In other words, is she looking hotter in the dress?
But that's what I'm getting at. That's the thing, is that that's really what's underlying it, because it isn't the dress. It's about what the dress means to the person who had the dress first and what it looks like on the second person who showed up in it. And that's that thing. And, you know, that's a mess.
Yeah,
that's a mess of esteem, and it's a mess about identity that, you know.
The thing I would have an issue with, though, that I think she should take her sister to task on, is robbing her phone and harvesting phone numbers out of it. I wouldn't take that too kindly now, people rob my phone and take your phone numbers out of it.
That's petty.
Well, I'd have a row about that now, easy. But I would, the rest of it, no, not really. As for her husband, what?
Well, I assume that's a joke.
Oh, good. Okay, yeah.
I assume that's a joke.
Yeah.
What she could do.
She doesn't have a problem.
What she could do, if the sister is copying everything she does, she should take the sister aside and say, listen, you're the only person I'm telling, and I want you to keep the secret, but I'm pregnant. And then sit back and wait.
That's a horrible.
I know.
Sean,
I know.
Evil.
Oh, lols. Only joking.
Evil.
Enjoy the hairstyle.
But you know, you said you made the thing about I saw her looking at my husband in a funny way. Oh, that's just a joke. But I think somewhere in that is not the fact that she genuinely thinks that her sister is going to steal her husband, but what that actually reveals is
A vulnerability
about what she has been taken away, and that I think that's kind of what is at the core of this. There's a certain lack of certainty with the first sister about her own stuff that somebody else can come along and take away what's hers, because she doesn't feel that secure with it. So I think that she just needs to think about that and go, you know, and because to me, you know, as you said, there's something kind of flattering about somebody coming along and I want to look like you, I want to dress like you. We have whole magazines.
Yeah.
We have celebrities who are only famous because other women want to look and dress like them. Yeah. So, you know, what she's actually criticising is actually something that people make millions out of. So.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think
but it could be kind of, it's almost like a list of things that you have to have a happy life. Hairstyle, blah, blah, certain clothes, hobby, and maybe the two of them have this insecurity. There's almost like a mental checklist of stuff you have to have.
if one of them is doing it in a kind of a carefree, subconscious kind of, or unconscious kind of way, and the other one is very aware of all of the minutiae, the little details that make up her so-called happy life, I think the person who's really conscious of it and really aware of it has more of a problem than the person who's just kind of flippantly. Yeah.
The other thing which I'd be interested to know, not that I know what it adds to, brings to the whole thing, but is this just a recent thing? Or, you know, if they've grown up together, has she been doing this ever since they were little? Or is this something that's more recent?
And sibling rivalry is just a common thing. Yeah. It's actually a real, like, just normal kind of thing.
Yeah, because in my experience, it's more common that, you know, one girl buys an item of clothing and then
swap it and share it.
Yeah, and you know, one of her sisters is wearing it half the time before she gets a chance to wear it herself.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
And that's what fashion is anyway. Fashion is somebody stepping up and going, this is going to be what I'm going to wear today. And somebody else going, I like that, I'll have it too. And before you know it, every woman in town is wearing flared jeans, or what are you wearing today, Barbie? Your bangles, those things. You know.
Okay, quick question before we go. My girlfriend loves her cat, so much so that she lets the cat lick her on the lips. I find it revolting. It's a serious turn off. However, I fear if it came down to a choice, she'd choose the cat. Is there a sensitive way to bring this up with her?
It's only gross if your cat eats a lot of fish. Do you know what I mean? If you keep them on a vegetarian diet, it's not bad. No, it is gross.
Don't cats eat a lot of fish anyway?
No, we don't give her, because it gives them bad breath. No, I don't think, I love my cats, but no, letting any animal, it's the same with people who kiss their dogs on the lips. I think it's gross, and it's not a good idea. And so it is gross. There isn't really a sensitive way to bring it up. You just say it's gross. However, I will say this about cats' tongues. Cats have amazing tongues. They're like sandpaper.
Yes.
And it's if a cat licks, I like the cat lick my arm now or something. That's delicious. It's absolutely lovely.
Like in a kind of an exfoliant kind of way.
Yeah,
like
it's really nice. Yeah, it's lovely. But And if she'd choose between you and the cat,
I'm hearing your second to the cat, mister. Sorry, unless you want to get yourself a sandpaper tongue.
I don't think he's alone there. I think there's a lot of men who might be second to a cat or two cats.
Oh, let's just leave it there before it gets any worse.
I'll pick him up on the way out.
That was a real question, by the way. Barbara and Declan, thank you both very much. Back in a couple of minutes.
Oh, my God.
Moncrief with Gas Networks Ireland. Aren't you tired of that ugly fuel storage tank, having to order and write that big check for the delivery guy? gasnetworks.ie/movetogas